You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. Today's episode, we're going to talk about prayer, as I promised last Sunday. And, of course, before we get into this, first of all, I want to say if there's any people listening already who are skeptical about prayer, right? Thanks for coming in, you know? I think a lot of people would be driven away from even clicking this episode because of that word, prayer. So to those who are, you know, open-minded enough to come and hear someone like me talk about, you know, my opinion of it and everything, hey, good on ya, you know, open-minded. So good news also for those who did come who are sort of not spiritually inclined by default, right? Good news for those types too, because for me, you know, the perspectives that I arrive to in life, they have to satisfy the scientist part of me, and they have to satisfy the sort of faith in me. They're both things asking to be satisfied, right? Decisions I make and what I believe and, you know, what I decide must be the truth and all this stuff, right? And well, because there's this tug of war in me, where I give both of them just as much say, right, and let them duke it out, I've arrived at this sort of middle way of explaining it, of for myself, you know, what I feel prayer is, and what the use of it I feel is, right? And it's interesting because I think I hold an explanation, a view of it that is acceptable to either side. So come along and hear me talk about prayer for everybody, right? And before, of course, I get into this, let me set the table a little more by announcing I am not affiliated to any religion. I have to be frank, in the last couple of weeks of my life, there's definitely an appearance of Catholicism sort of imagery in my life, in this chapter that I'm having that's beautiful and everything. You know, I mean things like saying hallelujah, saying hey, amen, right? You know, all this stuff is coming in. I did a mass, right? I received music that was a mass, and that's just what it is. What can I tell you? You know what I mean? Sorry, right? But I can't deny. It's starting to look like I'm, you know, maybe Catholic or something like that. So I just want to say, I'm not. I'm not anything. I'm out there, right? Making my own decisions, forming my own view. So here is my own view on prayer and why I think it's useful for anybody. It's something that everyone would benefit from implementing in some form in their life. So let's get into it. First and foremost, let's see if we agree here already, right? For me, what is the most defining factor of a prayer, right? You can't have a prayer without it. That most defining factor of it is it's a piece of time that you have put aside to focus your consciousness, right, on a wish or, you know, a reaching, you know, it's usually something you're asking for, right? Support, help, give me the strength, right? Bring me deliverance. You know, it's usually a reaching for help that isn't there. It's like a desperate act. But it's also, you know, it could be thanks, right? There are prayers of thanks, which are, hey, brownie points to you for that, right? Not only are you taking time out of your life to focus on something, you know, that reaches outward, right, to supposed spirit. Not only are you doing that, but you're doing it for the benefit of another person, not even for yourself, right? So, you know, those are beautiful prayers too. And well, there's also prayers of, you know, reaching to the ancestors, right? Mother, I miss you, you know, be with me through this time, you know? So I think in general, those are the sort of leanings that push someone into doing an act of prayer. But in all of those, as I said, the most basic thing that has to be there is it's a piece of time that you're not doing anything else, or at least your attention is diverted entirely onto this message. Send this message to this target, right? So in that way, it's a ridiculous thing to do, right? Scientifically speaking, I mean, what the hell is that going to do? You're not going to reach anybody. There's nobody out there. There's no God. There, you know, nothing is conscious out there, and we're not psychically connected and all that stuff, right? You have no soul, right? That's the end point of that one. Well, for that type, that part of me, right, it still saw value in prayer in the following way. It doesn't matter, says that part of me. It doesn't matter if there's no consciousness there. There's still value there. The value that is still there is that there is at least one consciousness there listening, and it's you. Yes or no? So, absolutely there's a spirit watching, isn't there? It's you. At least. Or are you not there? Do you doubt yourself? You know, are you here? I think I'm here. Anyway, when you pray, even if there's no one out there listening, there is always, unescapably, you. You're the one doing it, right? So this scientific, doubtful half of me that considers that way, it still sees. Well, there's value in that. That's a personal practice that could be very useful. Because look, when you take a moment out of your day like that, you know, and whether it be for a minute or even a moment, I have prayer in the daytime walking around, you know, where I just take a moment and send a message out of, oh, you know, this would be nice, or thank you for this, you know. I still send. It could take 2 seconds. But what counts is that your consciousness was put into that, right? So, of course, longer period of time, one would assume, makes a more powerful prayer, right? So if I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes and do a prayer, well, that's more powerful, undeniably, right? Even for yourself as a person showing that show of dedication, right? You're proving to yourself, look, I could have done anything for these 5 minutes. I could have been on the phone, I could have been listening to music, I could have been eating something, you know? But for this period, I stopped everything for 5 minutes or whatever it is. Hell, could be a whole day, right? When we go into these spirit retreats that I've been studying here, you know, it's a week, 2 weeks, you go out into the woods to be in that state, right, of openness and prayer. So prayers could be real long, they could be real short, but what defines them all there is that devoted attention, right, to an interaction with the out there or the within. So to me, you know, even if it's a prayer for outer help, right? Even if the prayer is, oh, I just, send me help, right? I can't take this. Please, please, please bring me luck. I need some weights taken off my back, right? Life is really breaking my back lately. Please take just a couple weights off, right? Even if there's no one receiving that, at least that moment there is showing you that you're out of line, right? It's showing you, hey, this really is pretty bad here, right? And just that moment of reality that you embrace in that moment, that truth, it's the truth you sit in when you do it, right? For yourself, you're facing yourself. And that could be a very helpful reminder of how bad the situation is. And that might lead you in life to be more conscious of this growing problem, right? And start to take actions maybe you would have avoided or put off, right? Actions that will more urgently take this pressure off, right? You'll help it. Right? Whether you notice it or not, if you're conscious of the problem, you know, your subconscious is going to try to spit out solutions and give you ideas and stuff, right? So it's beneficial, you see, even for just you watching it. So this is how I've come to see it, right? When it comes to these debates of is there spirit or is it just a meaningless gesture, right? Whenever I ponder this in any kind of different situations I've had to face on my path here, it always seems to shake out to the same silly conclusion, which is, you know what? Doesn't matter either way. It's good to do it anyway, right? Just do it anyway. You know, are the spirits listening? Are there spirits? Well, I will like to think so. That's faith, right? And sometimes I see things that really are convincing, that, wow, look at that. There really is something out there looking out for me, right? And there is some magic at work here, right? Then those moments, well, they feed the faithful part. But even so, even when the prayers aren't answered, I can still see the value from the scientific half of, well, it's still a meditation practice for me, right? That scientist part of me in that debate is honest, right? The scientist part of me says, well, try it, right? It's an experiment. You're a scientist, you know what I mean? So this is why I go into all these weird lands and things. Like, I like to test things out and go, hey, well, I'm a scientist at heart, you know, let me see if there's truth here and look for the truth and look for empirical evidence, you know. And well, I gotta tell you, definitely, as someone who's been testing this out for sure in the last 5 years, as I've been on a difficult journey, and God, have I had many prayers under the stars, tear-filled, God help me, God damn this, right? And a lot of those weren't answered, right? So it's easy there to say, well, then it doesn't work, right? Still, I default back to what I said earlier. It's still worth doing for yourself, right? So I still kept doing it. And definitely, for a long time, seemed nobody was listening. But then, you know, those were the same times where I recorded episodes such as the Dragonfly episode, where I told you guys about a moment I just had down by the river, where I was at in the dumps and looking for purpose and all this stuff, and I had this crazy interaction with watching a dragonfly be born out of its shell, and how I had seen flashes of signs that told me that was maybe a message from God, you know, or the system, the higher system, whatever it is. It seemed like a message from that system, nature or whatever, that was telling me, you know how it works. When a butterfly comes out of the cocoon, when a dragonfly comes out of its shell, you were watching, you wanted to help it, but you knew as a scientist you can't help it, because there's a system at work here, and if you interrupt this process, you might cripple their wings, or, you know, they won't come out right. There's all these pressures that they have to go through as they come out for the next shape to be right. And I had taken that as a message of, well, if this works out later, I guess I'll be able to look back on this and tell myself, see, that was the message. The message was, I can't answer your prayers right now, dude, because you're being shaped. You know, I gotta say, from this week I'm having lately, where I'm seeing this crystallization from all this path behind happening, this beautiful moment of hallelujah, right? I get it. You know, I think I had to suffer that stuff, and it was part of making me, and it's part of life, you know? We get shaped by the bumps and scratches, and pressures make us stronger, and sometimes I think the higher force knows, nah, you can take it, and you need it. You'll thank me later, you know? I don't know. But that's the faith part of me, right? But then there's the times where prayer does really get answered. And that's the thing that really puts a lot of weight for me on the side of it's worth doing for more than just yourself. I think there's mechanics at work out there in this system of reality. I think there is some kind of minds behind everything. So, you know, I don't have a religion, but I'll say it up front and straight up. That's what I believe, right? I believe that the consciousness that's in all of us is in all things. A rock isn't thinking necessarily, for example. But I believe every molecule in that rock, the reason it holds together, the atoms in that molecule, the reason they're holding together, I think there's will there that just wants to exist, right? It's just, I am this matter, right? And that's all that's in that mind. It's so strong and just, you know, unsplittable, right? And you see what happens when we split it, right? So there's a lot of power in an atom. Scientists know that. And maybe that power, that huge power in this tiny chunk, maybe that's pure consciousness, baby, right? And maybe that's why rocks are so hard and everything, and matter is so immutable, because it's just consciousness. It's like, for this speck here, I'm going to be rock, you know, or I'm going to be water. And then all the interactions break things apart, of course. So it's like a big dance of consciousness, right? No, I overrule you because I have more force, you know, and boom, boom, boom. Away goes the universe spinning and crashing and making life, right? And then we appear, creatures that are automatically conscious because we're made of this stuff too, right? We're the ones that move around and we have to make decisions. A rock doesn't have to, so it's like a different kind of consciousness, you know? It's like just pure material consciousness. What we are is complex bunch of materials put together, amalgam consciousness, right? Anyway, just spun off a little bit there into that view, just to make it clear why I think that system that is full of consciousness, I think there's decision-making that happens higher up. You know, I think there's hierarchy of organization. And for instance, right, just to expand a little more on that view of mine, in my view, the sun of our solar system here is a huge, massive chunk of God, in other words, a big chunk of consciousness. And that's why it's just so full of crazy, unimaginable power. This fire we're still trying to capture. What is this mysterious fire fusion, you know, fission, all this stuff going on in there? Jesus, look at that power, you know? And we look at it as scientists and we say, well, it's just a big bunch of melting rock, you know? But to me, that doesn't discount anything, because rock is pretty strong consciously, you know what I mean? It's consciousness of rock. Mineral, it's the basis, right? All these base elements of life, right, of the universe. It's the construction materials. I mean, it's made of the pure construction material, and it's burning and boiling and churning. That looks to me like some intense thought. If we're looking from the other side, right? That looks like a huge brain to me. And it animates all of life here, right? The plants take the rays, they make sugar out of it, and away goes life, and here we are, right? It's all because of the sun. Ancient cultures knew that sun was basically God, right? They revered it as God, because they just saw in the way everything is, right? This is the thing that makes everything go, and we need it, and it's cold when it's gone, it's scary, right? It makes the monsters go away and everything. So beautiful, poetically, you know? To me, that's what it is, right? So the sun is a huge brain, and some part of its attention, which I believe would be probably, you know, you want to be scientific, going through the quantum networks or whatever, you want to sci-fi it up, however it works. I think that it sort of is watching everything going on in the solar system, and of course a lot of its attention, maybe on Earth, processing what do we do with these critters, and like how do we move them around, and maybe that's where all your souls go when you die, you know, who knows, maybe that's our chunk of eternity right there, spiritually speaking, you know? But anyway, when you zoom out all the way to the whole universe, then obviously the hierarchy of things influencing and forming each other, then the entirety of the universe, that would be the whole mind of God at work. Every star, my God, every star, every planet, every animal, every species on every world. To me, that's God. The consciousness, huge, unimaginably vast ocean of a consciousness that's so powerful and intelligent and multi-leveled in its ability to think and process that it's doing it all at once without any effort. It's just when I think, this is what happens, right? Let's think of a universe. Boom! Away goes the Big Bang, you know? Let's play. So, sorry, here we are. We made it all the way through. This is the gist of my view, okay? I mean the spiritual half of me, right? The one that's working with spirit. The one that explores the mystic and everything, you know? It's been pretty damn convinced that there is some kind of mind at work up there, out there, and that's the way I sort of map it out for myself. And so when I'm praying, right, I'm reaching up to there. So let me speak a little bit more then about the act for me of praying, right? Because I also consider that, you know, sometimes the simplest thing that people take for granted, that everybody knows that, right? There's people out there that sometimes they don't know that. For whatever reason, it never met their world, they never spoke of it, no one told them, and so they never learned and they don't know, right? And some of these things you don't really know how to ask, right? So I think one of these things for someone out there must be prayer, right? Like I don't know how to pray. No one ever told me and I don't know where to look, you know what I mean? So here's the way I do it, if it helps anybody out. As I said, for me, it's consciousness. That's what counts. So I don't do any big rituals of, you know, getting on my knees, unless I'm trying to make it really desperate and like, come on, man, look at me, I'm on my knees, right? But usually, it's just, for me, it's all mental. And it could be while I'm falling asleep, right? And often it says I'm just going through my day. Sometimes I'm washing my laundry. We hand wash laundry here, so you spend a long time up there scrubbing away at the sink. And sometimes all these thoughts come through and you think of something like, man, I really could use some help with this or that. And you send the prayer up. You just, while you're washing your laundry, you just turn your mind to sending. To me, it's like you're putting a note in a bottle, right? And you're throwing it out in the ocean. That's how I consider a prayer for me, right? And that shows one of the sort of little rules I have. I don't know why I do it this way. But when I do a prayer, I do it once. And then I forget it. It's like a set it and forget it attitude, right? Except in one way. I'll get to that later. But in general, I forget. I don't keep track on it like every day. Man, that prayer didn't come through yet. I did it last night. What's the big holdup, you know? I don't do that. I sort of forget to even check on it. And so I keep having these moments in life where I'm just going through my day. And then, you know, I'm thinking about the good fortune I'm having today. Like, oh, man. Now, things are really turning around. I got a little money coming in and everything. And then I'll have this flash of, wait a minute, I prayed about that like last week, you know? Or, like, sometimes it's scary close. I'll give you an example. A few weeks back, in the quarantine here, as I'm starting to work on music and everything, I had started singing in my room, which is something I've stopped doing for a while. You know, when I wanted to be musical, I would take my flute or my harmonica, and I hadn't really sang on my own here for a while. And I decided, you know, to sing as I was tapping away on the computer. Sometimes I'd just go into a few songs just to see if I still could, keep it fresh, you know what I mean? And I found that my voice was cutting in two places, somewhere in the higher range, the same note. There was one note that I'd hit in the high range where it would just cut. There was no note there, right? And then resume above it. And same in the low range. And it was almost like there was a dry spot or like a scar, you know what I mean? It was a little bit strange to see this because that never happened before. And I was thinking, man, I hope that cold I had didn't damage something, you know, the other month. I don't know, maybe it's just still tense. I don't know what's going on, right? But for about a week, I would sing and try to flex it out. You know, I was thinking, just keep singing a little bit every day and it'll massage out, you know? And I was doing just other things, you know, eating some honey and things like that, trying to help the throat soothe, drinking some nice gentle teas, trying to get it out. But it was still there every time. And it was really a little bit annoying now, thinking, man, how long is this going to be here? So it was concerning because I was hoping to start using my voice in some of this music that I was thinking of making. And so this was a problem. I was hoping it would get better. And one night, I'm falling asleep. As I'm falling asleep, I try to sing a little bit, just as I relax, right? And there is that spot in my voice, those two spots cutting out still. And I'm thinking, man, it's been like a week. Nothing's helping. So I do a little prayer. I don't waste them, right? I try to leave them for something symbolically meaningful, right? So that to me, it has still a value. I don't like to abuse of it because I think that cheapens it, you know? And I don't think cheap prayers get answered anyway, right? So as I'm falling asleep, just for the hell of it, I send a little prayer and I say, medicine, spirit, God, whatever is listening, I'm trying to help my voice here. It doesn't seem to get better. So please, you know, whatever it is, if it's something in the flesh, if it's something in my spirit, in my heart, right? If I'm tense-hearted or something, or I'm holding on to something that's making my voice tense, you know? Whatever it is, can we please just get this going? You know, like, please get it out of the way, and I need to open up for something, right? I'm about to flow with this, and I can't have branches in the river, right? That was a sort of image I had. I just sent that out, you know? It would be nice. It would be nice. Thank you. You know, it's for a good cause. I want to use this voice for a good cause. So I do that. I go to sleep. And then the next day, I'm just going about my day. And I happen to go downtown. And I'm feeling calm that day. You know, it's not so tense anymore downtown. And you don't feel like you want to run home because there's cops everywhere and everyone's looking real scared, right? Things are getting loose. They're starting to open up a couple stores again, which is nice. And it was a nice day. So I figured, have a walk to the market and see if those plant stores are open. You ran out of plants at the beginning of this quarantine. You haven't had your healthy tea that you've been drinking for years. And you could probably use a good cleanup, right? So let's go have a look, just for fun. And sure enough, it was open. And I got myself the leaf that I've drank for years, as I said. Old partner that helps in life, a good healthy green tea kind of leaf, right? From a tree. And while I'm there, I realize, hey, this is a plant store. There's all these plants I've been thinking about, right? For immune system support or just for their flavor. You know, I was missing a good tea, so I had thought of all these plants I wanted. And here I am. So I grabbed a whole bunch of those, went home, cooked up my tea. And I was just making my leaf tea, right? And I thought, hey, I got a couple other items here, right? Something flavorful, something healthy for the immune system, you know? So let's throw that in there, make it richer, you know? Let's see what it makes. And I cook it up and I start to drink it. And here's the weird thing. I didn't notice it was weird until later. I take a cup of it when it cools off a bit. I have the first 2, 3, 4 swallows, you know, savoring the flavor. Oh, interesting, it's woody now, and I could taste the root there, you know, whatever. Immediately, in those 3, 4 first gulps, I had this weird feeling of a lump in my throat. Like a, so hard to describe exactly what it felt like. It felt a little bit like swelling of the like soft flesh around like my Adam's apple, around my throat. And it also felt kind of like mucus, you know, in your throat. It was this weird feeling. And I remember sort of touching at my neck and feeling if it's my glands are swollen. I'm like, what's going on? Is this like allergic reaction is actually what I was thinking right away. But, you know, it passed in a minute or so. And I was swallowing a bit. And I was like, huh, that was weird. A couple minutes later, I need to spit. And often I do this. I step out my front door, you know, I spit over the balcony. And I do that. Sorry to be gross, but what happened was a big glob, like enough to fill my whole Adam's apple area down there in my throat, a big glob of mucus came up. And I'm like, wow, this is just a smooth, weird, big blob of mucus. So I spit out and look at it as it goes down because I'm thinking this is a weird texture. Spit it out and it's brown, like plants, like tea, right? It's rich with like plant particles in there. And I spit that out, I see it plop down there, and I'm like, man, that was a big one. Go about my day, okay? Take my laundry, some hours later, I go upstairs, and I start doing my hand washing. And it's nice and echoey up there, and often I'll start to sing out of boredom, right? It's fun to sing in that room. And I sing a song, a medicine song, and I find that my voice is not cracking. I'm surprised by it. I'm like, whoa, my voice is nice today, this is nice. So, you know, I keep going, I finish the song, and I realize this song came out like butter, right? Like oil. It just flowed so smooth and even. That was interesting. So I get into a second song, and this one too. The voice is great. It's flowing energetically beautifully. And here's the thing. I start to test it a little bit more, and I realize I'm hitting high notes that I couldn't really hit comfortably before. You know, it'd be strained. I'm just popping right up there. And I'm hitting low notes cleanly down in my chest, you know, that usually were a little tense or it felt like dirty down there, you know? It wasn't a soft sound. It would get kind of breaking up, you know what I mean? But here I am. I can go low and I can go high. I'm not going to do it now. But I can go low and high and it's all flowing up and down. And there's no notes cutting out, and the songs are coming out beautifully. It was almost like I didn't have the same throat anymore, and that's the thought that clinched. I thought, it's like I have a whole new throat. And then I thought, hey, dummy, last night, as you were falling asleep, did you or did you not pray? Asking for whatever the hell is wrong to be moved out of the way, because you've got some important stuff to do with this voice. And it only got crazy when I thought more and I realized, wait a minute, that tea I made, I drank it, I immediately felt something weird around my Adam's apple, my throat on the inside, tried to clear it, it was just kind of sitting there. A couple minutes later, you spit up a big brown gob of something. And listen to your voice now, whole new throat. Not only does it seem your prayer was answered, but it seems like the way it was answered was that you just happened to buy a combination of plants that were softly calling to you when you couldn't get them. And I think I accidentally made myself a beautiful medicine that was just what the doctor ordered for this problem. Instantly, within minutes of drinking it, it did that. But as I keep drinking it, I've come to know it more, and I see that it's more than just that. It's making me speak. I get on a phone with somebody and it's a waterfall. It comes out of me, but it's exactly what needs to come out. They're comfortable conversations. Sometimes I feel like I went a little too far, you know, too long, and I'll apologize afterwards. I'll say, I'm sorry, I'm drinking a medicine and it's making me babble a lot. And then people keep saying, no, it was fine. That was perfect. That was a fine conversation, you know? So it's like words and expression and speech, music, it's all connected to this thing. And it's flowing it out, and I'm having these great, beautiful weeks because of it. Not only that, but I haven't released it yet. I'm releasing it maybe in the next week. I just captured an episode that was extremely emotionally raw and open and vulnerable. It was an accident. I was just wanting to record a thought, and it became this thing that I feel very... I'm so glad that I decided to record, you know, because I think it's beautiful in its way. And it was that moment of expressing, and it just, all, everything flowed just like it had to until the emotional stuff. And the emotional stuff flowed out as it needed to, and then we resume, you know, and flow of expression. Let it out, let it pass. Sing, speak, play your instruments, whatever. Hallelujah, you know, this medicine? That's why it's called Hallelujah. Because I realized it was the answer to the prayer I had that very night. And look at the chapter I'm entering thanks to this shift. It just really hit the spot. Answer to a prayer that I didn't know, you know, how big that prayer was. I was asking for whatever was responsible for this voice problem to get out of the way, but now I'm realizing what was responsible. It wasn't just maybe some issue physically in the throat. I was kind of still not, I hadn't found my fire yet for this next step of life, you know, I hadn't, the vision was still forming, I was still doubting, I was still holding back is what I'm saying, right, tense and tight, and it was probably part of why my voice wasn't quite that great. And so I'm seeing in the last weeks, as I continue to work with this medicine, I'm seeing that it's opening everything up, and letting flow the thing that has to flow. And I love it. It's beautiful, right? Answer to a prayer. Such a big answer. I didn't know it would lead to all this, to open up these blockages, right? It's unblocking everything. It's beautiful. Can't believe it. Just stumbled on this thing, you know? Ah. Sorry for the long story, my friends. But I hope, you know, it goes to give an example. This is just one of many, many moments like that I've had in life, where when a prayer gets answered, it just, oh my God, did it get answered. Holy crap, right? Here's a little story that I thought about recently. I think it's the first time that prayer caught my attention as something that may be doing something, okay? And as a scientist, as a spiritual person, doesn't matter. I can't deny that this was crazy the way it just happened, right? And it's a little embarrassing. So let me open up here and tell you. That's, what grade was it? I think I was up to 11. Yep, I was 11. Or turning 11. Either 11 turning on 12, or 10 turning on 11. 11 was there, right? But my birthday was coming up. And I had an issue, even that old, and it was embarrassing, and I hated it. But I couldn't do anything about it. I was a bedwetter. And it was because I wasn't waking up. I couldn't help it. What could you do? You go to bed, and you didn't wake up. You wake up in the morning and you peed. And it's damn it, body, right? What are you doing? Like, what's going on here? So there was nothing to do, right? It was just a fact of me and my childhood there until that age. Way too old for that embarrassing problem, right? And, I mean, it was even to the point that if I wanted to have a regular little social life between friends and stuff, I'd go have sleepovers, and I'd have to secretly pack a diaper and put it on in the bathroom before going to bed. You know, at their home. You know, but that's life. And I was getting really sick of it. And I was about to turn, like I said, whatever it was. Maybe it was 11 to 12. And I remember the night falling asleep, I prayed. And I was already skeptical, you know, I wasn't at all sold on any of this stuff. Even as a kid, I think in grade 2 or 3, you know, I knew when they were talking about the Bible, it was just, to me, I was like, what is this weird story they're trying to tell us is real, you know? So prayer, I was skeptical. But for some reason, I prayed. Just like all the other reasons I prayed in life. Just for some reason, I was like, you know what? Let's just do this, you know? So that night, as I'm falling asleep on the eve of my birthday, I remember it very clearly. I sent a little prayer out with my little boy heart. And I said, God, I want to be a big boy. I want to grow up. You know, I'm tired of being like a baby here with this thing. I'm about to turn whatever it was, and I would be so pleased if this can stop. And I went to sleep. Went to sleep. I woke up the next day, it's my birthday, and guess what? My bed is dry. And I go to sleep the next night, wake up the next day, and guess what? My bed is dry. And the next night, and the next night, and the next night. It just stopped that night. So, psychosomatic? Probably the explanation I went with at the time, right? Even as a kid, scientist at heart, I was like, probably just belief in myself or whatever. My body listened, right? So be it. But even still, I had to admit, there's some value to prayer, right? Because can't deny, last night you prayed, I want to be a grown-up, stop this peeing thing. And you went from peeing every single night in your bed without fail, never able to wake up, to not pee in the bed anymore and waking up having to pee real bad. And then eventually, you know, I learned to wake up to pee at night. It, you know, what do you say? I mean, whether it was answered by above or whether it was answered by right here in my body, you know, my subconscious controlling things, hell, it was worth doing. And those are the moments that make me think it's worth doing for both reasons, you know? Although, you know, to warn you, as I touched on a little earlier, if you are going to embark on this, right, this attempt to try to do this in your life, I'll warn you that you'll get angry if you do believe there's something out there. You'll get so angry at the system, at the higher beings, whatever, right? God, the angels, whatever you want to do. You're going to be angry, so furious when they let you suffer, you know? But I got this feeling that when we die, you know, I of course believing everything's conscious, I think when we die, our soul pops back out, our consciousness might not even be human, right? It could be something very different, and we might realize, oh, I got lost again, right? I think we come in and get lost in beings and in lives, like a story that we live, right? It's like a game almost. And I think when we come out, we remember all the higher truths, right? And we go, right. All that suffering that you guys let me go through. You were right. You were right. I know. When we're up here, we know, you know? It's just part of it, you know? It's part of the transformation. It's part of the work. It's part of shaping you the way you're trying to be shaped by going through life, right? A life is like a school, I think, to the spirits. You go in and you test yourself, you limit yourself, and you go into this world of danger and pain and challenges and risks. Forget that the system up there is eternal and you'll be okay no matter what. You know, you may die, but you're going to be okay on the other side, you know, you're still there. You know what I mean? I think we forget that so that we'll take this seriously. It's part of the choice we make when we come in, I think. And I think when we get out, we remember, right? Oh my God, yes, of course, right? Wow, what an illusion that is down there. Jesus, that's a convincing illusion, you know what I mean? And we keep falling for it. We all fall for it. We all know, right? That's how it is down there. But when you come back out, you get to remember and see what you did and figure it out. Did I do better? Did I learn that thing I was hoping to learn? Did I show myself, you know, what truths about myself did I realize down there? By forgetting that, you know, everyone's watching in a way, you know what I mean? Or at least I'll get to see this later and judge myself, you know, from a higher place. Keep getting diverted into these higher system explanations, but I hope it's useful anyway, right, to somebody. It should have been its own episode, I suppose, but I guess two for one, huh? Now look, as I said, way back... As I said, this medicine makes me speak a lot. This is why these diversions are happening lately. As I was saying earlier, one of my rules for me, for prayer, is you do your conscious moment, you send your message, you know, sometimes it's with tears, you know, it's not always just very basic, hey, could use this, you know, or sometimes it's desperate, right? And it's an emotional experience to do this prayer and to let the tears come out as if someone's hearing you, right? And there again, for yourself alone, that's a good exercise. But yes, set it and forget it. That's one rule that I go by. But that leads to those surprises where I remember all of a sudden, hey, you prayed for this. I've had so many of those. But the other rule, which is very important, that I also live by, is when you do a prayer, right? What you have to do preceding after that, you know, the one thing you can't forget, if you want to really be helping it happen, right? You have to go forward and be ready to receive it. Right? So say you ask for a better job, right? You got to keep your feelers up as you're out there moving forward for bumping into someone at a coffee shop by accident. You know, "Ooh, I'm sorry, sir," right? And that may be a person that's looking for you for a job and they don't know it and you don't know it, right? So maybe have a friendly interaction with this person. You know, be open as you're out there. Because you never know the weird sideways way that these prayers can be answered. And if you're not ready, I could tell you so many times I realized in the afterward, you just let your answer drift right by you because you weren't ready, you weren't thinking. You had forgotten it too much, right? So it's kind of contradictory advice. Set it and forget it in the sense of don't keep looking for the answer. Don't keep checking back on it every day, right? But be conscious that you requested that to the higher system. And beyond just being open to finding how it comes to you, right? To be open to opportunities, that's one thing. But the other thing that's important is you also have to go forward ready to do what you can to make it happen. So that's a key. I think this is the piece that a lot of people mess up when they're trying to pray. They pray and then they're like, "Yep, up to you guys now, right? Bring it to me. Do it." Silly when you think about it, right? I mean, you're asking a higher system to move systems and make miracles for you, bring you deliverance, but you're not going to lift a finger? So when I pray, it's always a deal. It's like, look, for example, I need more customers, you know, for the service. I could just pray that, right? But it's so much better to pray it and then say, "All right, well, you know, this week we gotta shape up the website. Let's whip up some new graphics. Let's try another attempt at this," right? Go for it. And then hope that the other side of things, right? The luck of your timing or just like the right person comes across you in that moment, you know? The luck part then, hopefully, if your prayer was listened to, it's gonna catch it, right? Your effort, your thing is gonna kind of boost you and give you some more openings than you would have had otherwise, right? But if you didn't move towards it, you'd never know. You know what I mean? You know what? As I sit here editing this, there's another thought I wish I could have squeezed in here. So here I am to squeeze it in. A prayer that I'm having more and more often and more consciously. Thank you, past me. Little moments. I just had one right now. My back is aching a bit, kind of squirming around, massaging, trying to figure out, it's a little bit annoying today, this factor here, right? And then I realize, wait a second, you got yourself a muscle relaxant pill the other day, right? Just a standard back relaxer. And you had the foresight, did you not, to buy a second one while you were there. And sure enough, there it was right on my table. And I popped it just now. And said once again to myself, you know, thank you, past me, good job, keep it up. Now, that might sound silly, right? On the spiritual level, hey, why not send thanks to the past me, give respect to that ancestor, right? Past me of last week is long gone. Good work, you, right? Getting me an extra pill for today. I appreciate it, sir. So, you know, for gratitude, it's a good exercise. But also, the most important, I think, effect of that particular prayer is that I think subconsciously it encourages me more to right now in life, you know, daily, it encourages me more to prepare things for future me. We have a relationship now, right? So this is a fun kind of shape to play with, right? This adds an interesting little layer of story to my days that I keep track of now because I thank past me. And sometimes I set something up and I have a prayer right there where I go, "You're welcome, future me." You know? And that encourages me to plan ahead and to think of my future and be thankful for my past. And we can have that prayer for each of ourselves every day, right? And have that same effect. It would invigorate you to do things for future you. Think in that way instead of just being in the present, right? It keeps you present in the future and it keeps you appreciative of the past. And always realizing that in this moment now, you're sculpting the future. right? So a simple, tiny little moment of prayer. Thank you, past me. But look at the effect that has. So see right there, it doesn't matter if there is magic communication going on between sender and receiver. Just the act of sending it affects you. There's consciousness there still, watching, being affected, being moved by that moment of prayer. In that case, myself, right? Yourself. So there's where the scientist in me sees clearly. Once again, here we are, where when questioning magic or spiritual stuff, we always end up at, you know what? It doesn't even matter if it's doing something magical or not. It's still something worth doing. And here's another important little thought that I can't leave out. If you are going to begin playing more seriously with prayer because of maybe this episode, the thoughts it gets turning in your head, if you are going to do this, I would say the best place for anybody to start the path of praying, of outreach to the other or to the within, here is a healthy prayer for all of you unanimously to be able to use equally. The prayer to begin with is thanks. Gratitude. That is a prayer. So before you even think about asking for favors or, you know, seeing how you can maneuver with prayer in your life and see if it dances with you at all, you know, the worthiest place to even begin before that is pray every day or every week, whatever rhythm you're going to feel like playing with. Begin always with, what do I pray about in this moment? Pray about gratitude. Pray about what you're thankful for in this moment, what you would thank God for if it was in front of you, what you would thank your ancestors for if they were listening right now, who you would pray for in your life, help my mother, help my father, help my brother, help my friends, or even right there, gratitude again. Thank you for that friend in my life, Spirit. Thank you for that friend in my life, God. Thank you for my good mother. Thank you for my good fortune here. Gratitude. And you might think, you know, cynically, what the hell use is that to me, though? Why am I going to start with that? I want to start with something more interesting, you know, more valuable. Well, listen, it's valuable, just like all the other things we covered in this episode. If you take a habit of praying out thanks, even in the moment where you're feeling it, you know, a good piece of luck comes in right there in that moment. Take a little step aside and just thank you, universe, right? A prayer of thanks in this little moment. Or like I said, these ritualistic sort of weekly or daily going to sleep prayer or whatever, make it about gratitude. That's a reason to be praying every day, first of all. But secondly, most importantly, it will keep you connected. You, again, you're there at least. So even if there's nobody else listening, a practice of daily gratitude through prayer is going to make you so much happier in life, because you're constantly going to be taking stock of what you do have and at least making sure you hold on to that and see how you could gain ground from there if times are tough, right? Grow from that, what you have, grow from what you know you have, because you're always thanking in prayer for it. Thank you for this ability of mine, you know, thank you for this opportunity that has come along. Thank you for this great other person in my life that is such a help and I appreciate, right? By being more conscious that they are a valuable thing to have in life that you should appreciate, right? And fully be connected consciously with the fact that it's amazing that you have this, right? It'll make you that much more quick to utilize them, to not forget you have them, you know? And in hard times, you might remember, wait a minute, don't I have this ability that I'm always thanking God for, right? Don't I have these opportunities here, you know? It'll keep them present in your mind. And gratitude, look, it'll just make you a better person overall in life. You will thank people if you aren't, right? There's people in life that never say thank you. You interact with them daily, you hand them a thing, you know, you do a favor for them, they never say thank you, you know? These are people very disconnected from gratitude for whatever reason. So a person like that, if they were to begin a practice of praying about gratitude every day, you know, or every week, whatever, they would probably transform into a more pleasant person who says thank you when you hand them something, you know, hey, thanks for that favor, I really appreciate that, because they prayed about it last night. It's a moment to scan your life and go, what am I grateful for? make that conscious connection. So you see how it's a moment of consciousness. That's the most important part about it, that you're there doing it. It's like a self-cleaning moment in a way, right? It's like a bug when it's cleaning itself with its legs over its big eyes and everything, right? Or a lizard when it's licking its face to clean itself. It's this moment of maintenance, of do my gratitude moment, right? And let me reach through my life and find what am I grateful for? And they'll pop up. Oh, that person. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, thank God for that person. And thank you for that luck. And, you know, you just take stock. And by taking conscious stock, you are consciously connecting to that realness of I should be grateful. There are so many other forces in this life helping me along. Not everyone is against me and everything. So, you know, such a healthy practice to do. So there it is. Begin your adventure through prayer. The best place to begin, in my opinion, is just a practice of gratitude. So that's the kind of faith that I go with these things. You set your intention, you send your prayer, if it's a request, if it's a reaching out. Doesn't matter if you're the only one listening, doesn't matter if they're listening out there. But what you need to do moving forward is generally don't obsess over it. Just go live. But remember that you have to be open to receive it, be alert for that, which is why you should generally be open in general, you know what I mean? Because that's where these things will sneak in, where you're open and not rigid and not just going through your robotic day, you know? Talk to a stranger or help an old lady pick up her bags, you know? Just like break out of your just direct A to B sort of movements and let chaos come in a little bit. And that's where these things work. That's where you wouldn't believe it. The amazing serendipities that have helped me so much along my way that I attribute to having prayed for help, you know? Or at least as a reward for a good deed, for being on a good path, right? God knows. I hope that system up there is taking care of the good ones. Giving them the help they need, because we need that help, right? Hell yeah. So, you know, I think I've exhausted it, fellow humans. Went a lot more meandering than I planned, but we'll see in editing if it sounds okay. But I'm pretty satisfied here that I've explained it in a way that I think pretty much anyone can pick up and use, right? Just try it. It doesn't matter if you're trying to prove to yourself that there's a system listening, you know? It's still worth doing just for you as a sort of meditation, as a sort of show of this is how much I believe in this. And then moving forward, as I said, trying to receive it, even if there is no other system helping you on the other side, that's still going to be better than if you did nothing. So even pretending there's a system that's going to help you and playing along, hey, I'm going to do this and hope that there's a system helping, even that game, if it's false, doing those things is still good for you because you'll be advancing. You'll be reaching for something, right? Instead of just asking for it and sitting there. So there it is. There it is, fellow humans. And here's my prayer that is probably the most repeated prayer I've done in my whole life. God, help heal this world. There are some serious problems out here. And it would be a shame to see it all tumble down, you know, and turn into a hell. For nature, for us, for everything. Beautiful human life, enjoying the incarnation, getting to learn our lessons and be friends and make music and live and love and all that stuff. Pull out all the stops and bring all the miracles, all of them. To help heal this friggin' marble, you know? I'm gonna do my best to help it happen. I hope you do too, fellow humans, and hell, maybe that way we'll get our prayer answered. So I'll leave it there, fellow humans. This only leaves me to thank my Patreon supporters, who definitely have been heaven sent. Thank you guys for always supporting, especially, of course, Mr. X. And well, you could find all the episodes of this podcast over at higherideas.net. Hope you enjoyed this one. And until next time, keep thinking.